Amen. Amen. Okay, last week in chapter 1, what happened in chapter 1? Yeah, the queen, Vashti, refused the command of the king during this second feast he had given for 7 days. And some of the Jewish people, the historians said that when the king told her to show up, that all she was supposed to show up wearing was her crown, and which would have been totally terrible for the king to demand that, to show his wife off, show her off in that way at this drinking party. And of course, what we talked about last week, we might remember, did this king think everything belonged to him? Yeah. He was king. He ruled from India to Ethiopia. That was a larger area than what Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, had ruled over. It was a greater kingdom than what Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and those kings that ruled. He was very important, and everything was his, and everything you did was at his command. Therefore, the queen does not show up in this unmoral request, and he's got some advisors. And what does one of the advisors, they get together, what did they say to do? Make a law, right? Get rid of her, we're going to make a law, and therefore he disposes of her, okay? Because they was afraid of from Ethiopia to India that once this became known, that all the other women that was married would do the same thing. And he was so wrong. The advisors that advised this king was so wrong about that. And as we go through this book, hopefully you've read the whole book at least once or twice, and you'll see that this king does listen. A lot of times he listens to people he should not be listening to. And that's the problem sometimes with people in powerful positions. They only hear what they want to, or someone has their ear that should not have their ear. So this is what's happening here. So we get down to chapter 2, and Bill, why don't you read us through the first four verses, please. Chapter 2, Esther. Okay, one thing we want to point out, this king became king in 486 B.C. Over there in chapter 1, in verse 3, those events happened in the third year of his reign. So that would be 483 B.C., and it's interesting in chapter 2, we'll just skip ahead, in chapter 2, verse 16, talking about Esther, is happening in the seventh year of this king. So between the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, there is 4 years that's taken place. In those 4 years, that's when he went to war. Remember the feast that he was giving, the 180 days. He was doing this because he was bringing people in, powerful people from all his provinces, from Ethiopia to India, because he was needing people, he was needing soldiers, and he was needing money because he was going to go defeat the Greeks. And during these 4 years, he went. He did not defeat the Greeks. He was the one that was defeated. His army was defeated. His navy was defeated. He goes back. He was pretty haughty there in chapter 1. And the way he treated his wife there in chapter 1, he was the big man, you know. He was the big guy. But after he's defeated there by the Greeks, he comes back to his palace and he's been humbled somewhat. He's still going to be a mean guy as we go through there. But at least he got humbled because he's coming back losing a lot of his soldiers and losing his navy. 4 years have happened. And when he gets back, it says, number one in verse 1, it says his wrath had been appeased. You know, over in verse 12 of chapter 1, when Vashti disobeys his command, it says he was very wroth. And his anger burned in him. We talked about last week how he treated the man that had had five sons and had given much money for this campaign against the Greeks. And the man asked for his oldest son back because he needed him, and he split him in half and made the troops march through that. This is the kind of man that he was. Everything was his. But we see between the last verse of chapter 1, his wrath was appeased. Okay? He remembered who? His former queen. Okay, it's been 4 years. Here's something I want to read to you, and you see if you remember this. Hey, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying? Hey, if you see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. Oh, won't you tell her that I love her? I woke up this morning, realized what I had done. I stood alone in the cold gray dawn. I know I lost my morning sun. I lost my head and I said some things. Now comes the heartaches that the morning brings. I know I'm wrong and I couldn't see. If you're probably 45 years old or older, have you heard those words before? Huh? Mid-70s. Charlie Rich. You know, we had a luncheon we went to on a Friday, and the lady that spoke was talking about the differences between the baby boomers and the millennials, okay? It's really kind of interesting, because some things, if you was born at a certain time, you just don't realize those things, and some of us that was born at a certain time, we don't realize maybe what's going on that those individuals have been brought up to. But is this accurately describes the king here? Coming over here, I heard another song. I forgot to remember that I forgot. The Beatles, okay, talks about someone that left them. I forgot to remember that I forgot about this person, okay? But anyway, here is this king. This fits this king exactly to the T. Can he do anything about it? Look at verse 19 of chapter 1. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it may not be altered. He's banished her from being queen. He cannot alter that. Okay? He's sorry. Okay? He remembers what he's done. He wants her back as a queen. Now, verse 2. Here again, some more wisdom coming from these guys that he surrounds them about. And what does one of his servants suggest? We'll go get a new queen. Well, he needs a queen. He needs a queen, and the old queen that he still remembers, but he can't have her because he put her away forever. But he needs a queen, okay? And what's going to be one of the requirements for the new queen? Beautiful. Be a virgin. Be old. Middle-aged. Young. Let's get the king a new model, okay? Let's go out and get a new model for this king. Now, does the king like this idea? Yeah, I think he likes this idea, doesn't it? Okay. And was they just going to limit the search to the city? And all the provinces from India to Ethiopia. Is there a lot of nationalities between Ethiopia and India? Was there going to be many different fair young ladies that was going to be brought to him? It says in verse 3, fair young virgins to the city, to the custody of this king's, the keeper of the women. And in verse 4, let the maiden that pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king And he did so. We said before, in this provinces of all this area, did any of these women have a choice? I do not know how the search was conducted, but I'm sure being the king that he was and the way he ruled with a fist hand, that when he sent people out to look for the most beautiful women in those areas, I believe they took their directives very seriously. Because if not, he had supreme power, and he could put you to death. He could execute you. As we go further in this chat, in this book, when Mordecai tells Esther what she has to do, what was one of her concerns about going into the king, could put her to death. I don't know why he did not put Vashti to death when she disobeyed him, but he didn't. But he still took the crown from her when he did that. But he is a mean guy. And to think that he is sending people out, servants from his, looking in every corner of his province, of his kingdom, for these women that would be separated from their parents. Do you think any parent would want their young daughter taken for this beauty pageant for the king? How many of you, Josephus tells us, the historian of the back lived during the times of Christ, he tells us there was 400 young virgins taken by the people that went out, he sent out 400 women. And Ezra, how long did it take Ezra to go from this city here to Jerusalem? If you remember, 4 months. And Jerusalem is not Ethiopia. This could have taken a half a year or longer to do this. But they're going out on a mission to look for these beautiful young ladies that would be taken against their will. They would have no say in this. Just want to point out again how evil this king was. Okay, verses 5 down to 7. Danny, you want to read that for us? During this time period that's going on, the writer of the book of Esther is telling us about a Jew whose name was, what was his name? Mordecai. We have the lineage of Mordecai. And he could search his ancestry back to who? He was of the tribe of Benjamin, right? And the last person that he searches his, that takes his lineage back to, is what name is that guy? Kish. Did Kish have another son who was a very influential in the Israel kingdom? Who was the father of the first king of Israel? Kish, right? Remember that. Next week, we'll try to tie this together with what's going on here between an ancestor of Mordecai and an ancestor of Haman. Okay? We'll remember that as we go on next week. Okay, so in verse 6, when the Jews, remember Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem 3 different times, and most people think that Mordecai's descendants were taken in the second captivity, I think about 596. So, you know, this, what we said, this is the 7th year, and the king started ruling, and so this is 479 B.C. So Mordecai's family, evidently, when the Jews under Ezra, and the the first return, they're in 530 under Zerubbabel, and then Ezra, and Ezra's after this. But they did not go back. they did not go back in the first going back to Jerusalem. So he's there in Shushan, okay? Now, he has a cousin, and what's her name? Got a Jewish name and a Persian name. What's her Persian name? It's easier for me to say. Hadassah, okay, which I'm told that would be, well, I might be wrong here. I was thought that was her Israelite name, Jewish name, and that Esther was her Persian name. But I might be wrong on that. I don't know. I need to check that. But anyway, she's given, there's two names given to her, okay? Does not Esther mean star? I think that means, things mean star. But that's his cousin. Now, what's the condition of her family? She's an orphan, right? Her mother and her father passed on. And so I guess if Mordecai's her uncle, they would be. She'd be of the tribe of Benjamin. So who takes her in? Mordecai does. And what's her description of her in verse 7? Beautiful form and face. What does that mean? Beautiful face is beautiful face, right? And her form was beautiful also. She's very attractive. And what is the king's servants going out looking for? Beautiful women, beautiful young virgin women. And Mordecai is responsible for her. He's the one that has raised her up like that. Now, in the book of Esther, we said last week, is God's name mentioned? Anywhere in there is God's name mentioned. But is God working? God is working. Does God know what's happening to his people? Does God know what's happening to his people who are not his people? Yeah, God knows us what's happening to everyone, okay? Do we forget that sometimes? We all forget that from time to time because there's things going on in our life that we question. Sometimes things can be going on in our life that we even question if there is a God or not, right? Have we been down that road before? Whatever. We question God. If you love me, why are these things happening to me? Now, who formed Esther? When she was in the womb, was he forming her? Did he have a purpose for Esther even when she was in the womb? Now, let's take it this way. Does God have a purpose for us? Has God made us and shaped our bodies the way he's done that? Now, we have some say in that. But just think about that. Does God have a purpose for each one of us? Are we important to God? I think sometimes we forget that God's created us. Some of us have straight hair. Some of us has curly hair. Some of us are males. Some of us are females. Some of us are different races. All these different things. Some are dark-complected. Some are light-complected. Some are short. Some are tall. Some needs glasses. Some have good vision. We're a product of God's creation, okay? Remember that. Don't ever forget that. And just as God is using Esther, he can use us today too. Okay, Erica, you want to read verses 8 down through 14? Okay, I went too far. I wanted to stop at verse 11. Went too far. Okay, so the king's servants are going out searching for these beautiful women. She's very beautiful. She's there in the capital. So what happens? Does she get caught up in the net, or does she get caught up because of her beauty as far as being taken, probably against her will. Would you want to be the queen to this king? Would any woman in here want to be the queen to this king? No way. Would you, as a parent, want your daughter to be taken in to be his queen? First of all, if the Jewish historians are right, and there's 400 virgin young women that are taken to be his queen, how many will be able to be the queen? One out of 400. What's going to happen to the other 399? Are they going to be able to go home? Probably not. Are they going to be at the beck and of the call of the king when he decides he wants to have one of these other 399? Yes, he will. Will they be able to go out and do whatever they want to do? No, they won't. Will they be able to have children? Probably. Probably not. Okay? And given to custody of this guy, of this chamberlain, the keeper of the women. Okay? Now, in these verses that Erica read, is God's providence at work here? She saves her people. But what about this man that she... This man is in charge of all these women. He was pleased with her, right? In verse 9? She obtained kindness. Showing her favor. And what did he do quickly? Let's say it's something he did quickly. He speedily gave her the things for purification. Goes down as a slave, auctioned off as a slave. Potiphar put him in charge of everything in the house, didn't he? Was God working there? Okay, go back even at that, before that time. Joseph, and I have to, you know, some people says that there's no doubt Jacob, I want to be careful here. Some people says, you know, Jacob just spoiled Joseph. I don't think he did. I might be in the minority. I don't think he did. If you look at Joseph's other brothers, were they pretty righteous people? What did they do when their sister had been raped? Yeah. They took a thing that God gave Abraham, circumcision, as something that God's thought very special about. And they went to that city where their sister had been abused, and they told all the men of the city, because the men of the city wanted to be friends with Jacob because of the trading, because everything. They wanted to get rich, okay? And they told the men of the city, for us to do that, you have to be circumcised. Knowing all along that when those men are circumcised, they're not going to be able to defend themselves. It was premeditated murder, is what. And it wasn't all his brothers. Levi was in there, and I forget the others, but I think there was four of them. And I forget, we can go back, look at it. That was premeditated murder, is what that was. Okay? Also, why did Jacob send Joseph out? To see how his brothers were doing. Okay? And of course, the brothers were from four different mothers, right? But Joseph was going out there because his father sent him to check on what they was doing. And you know, did God give Joseph dreams? If Joseph had kept those dreams to himself, would his brothers have found out about him years later? But Joseph told his brothers those dreams, and who was going to be the premier brother of all of them? Yeah. And you know what? Who was Joseph's mother? Rachel. Who was Jacob's love? Rachel. I mean, he got deceived. But of course, he had deceived his father too, okay? But that was his love, was Rachel. So I can see how Joseph would be at least, I won't say his favorite, but he would shelter him maybe or do different things. But anyway, the brothers, when he comes, what do they want to do to Joseph? Kill him. But did God work his providence and those slave traders came by? Think that was coincidence? That's how he gets him. But anyway, we see God's providence working here. He preferred. Plus, look, she had seven maidens. I don't know if the other 400 women had seven maidens. That's a lot. But God is working here, just like he did with Joseph and Potiphar. Now, there was one thing that Mordecai told Esther not to do. Don't tell anybody that you're Jewish. I don't know why he told, I don't know, maybe you all know, I don't know why he told her not to do that. But he told her that. Did she listen? Yeah. She had trust in Mordecai. And maybe Mordecai knew, as we go on, maybe he knew more about the political system that was going on than maybe she would have known. But it's very important that in verse 10, don't you charge that. Also, what did he do every day in verse 11? Yeah. I mean, do you think he was concerned about her? Think he loved her? Yeah. Does he know how things work with kings, with this king? Yeah, he does. He loves her, and he knows her life will never be the life that her mother and father wanted for her, and it'll never be the life that he wanted for her. And just think about Daniel. Did Daniel's parents worry about him? Did they never saw, to our record, they never saw Daniel again. But they did a good job in raising Daniel to where he ended up being. Okay, verses 12 through 14. Justin, you want to read those for us, 12 through 14? Okay. Here again, all these women that's being gathered up, this is not a good life for these women, because what happens in verse 12? You get a night with the king. That's what's happening here. Does the king really concern himself with these women? Is this really love that he has for these women? Oh, no. Every maid, a turn comes. And looks like she's been there 12 months, and she's got 6 months for this. And, I mean, I guess when you think about it, the treatments and whatever went on, the perfumes and the skin treatment, you know, you see sometimes where you put mud, you go to this, get mud all over you to get your skin nice and fresh and whatever you do about that, and you'll see the ladies with the cucumbers on their eyes and, you know, and their hair, and I mean, this is going on for 12 months, being prepared to be called to go to the king that night. There's a lot of things going on. But you know what? You don't have control over anything. You're possessed of the king. And then in verse 13, when the time came, every maiden, whatever she desired was given her to go into the house of the king. And it's kind of sad because it says, in the evening she went. And on the King James says the morrow, but the morning, in the evening she went, in the morning she left, and returned to the second house of the women, and would not see the king again unless he would call for her. Terrible life. And you know what? It's all because the characteristic was these women were beautiful. That was the reason they was in the situation they in, was because they were beautiful. Okay, verse 15 down to 20. John, you want to read those for us, 15 through 20?
Okay.
The time comes. Esther times comes where she's going to be brought in. She's going to go into the king. And it's in verse 15, we again see about God's providence. In the last part of verse 15, it says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Not just this person that kept the women, but all that had association, all that looked on to her. Okay, tells us the month, the 10th month, tells us the 7th year of his reign. In verse 17, is God working in the life of this king? He said he loved Esther above all the other women. I don't know how in one night you can really know if you love someone in the way that you should be loved, but it said he loved Esther above all the women. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins. So who selected? I wonder if he had brought them all in, or he gets to Esther and that's it. He's found his love, you know, and there was no need to go any further. But anyway, she selected to be queen. And he makes a great feast. And the one thing is, it sounds like too, that he relieves his kingdom from taxes. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if because he selected his queen, that then he goes, law goes out that you don't have to pay your taxes, whatever this year or whatever it is. But anyway, she is selected. Now, as we go on, what do you think her life is? You think she's happy? You think she's got really what kind of a loving husband she would want? I don't think so, because we're going to see later on when Mordecai goes to her to go say, you got to save our people. She says, well, I haven't seen the king in 30 days. So I wonder what's going on there. If the king is calling somebody else to see him in the evening and go back in the morning, don't know. But this is not a relationship as God intended for a marriage to be. Now, I was listening to someone the other day talking about these things, and he was talking about how terrible this king was and how terrible it would be to be this man's queen, because it would not be what God wanted between a husband and wife. And he said a man came to him one time and was talking to him about how terrible his marriage was. And it came back another time, it was worse than worse. And the person said, what was your vows? He said, well, this is bad. And the guy said, would you have her richer or poorer? Good health or sickness? And went down through the list and said, you made a vow. And the vow was, to death do you part. And what he said is, I don't do very much marriage counseling anymore, because I ask people what their vows were. He says, sometimes God asks us to do difficult things. But he also said, when you get to heaven, it's worth it all. You know, going back to that luncheon I went to on Friday, there's a lot of people that wants to be first in a lot of things. In fact, I didn't know this, and maybe some in the back who's younger than me, who's of the millennium age, there's a term that's called Yugo, I think it is. U-O-G-O. Has any of the other younger ones in here heard that? You only live once. Huh? YOLO, okay. I've seen you only live once. I don't know. I'm a baby boomer, okay?
You only go once.
Huh?
You only go once.
Okay, you only live once. And this the lady that was putting this class on, she goes to all to she's an HR person, and I didn't think about it. She said she was born in the 80s. She goes, my parents split. She used to split. My parents split when I was 15 years old. My mother had a job as an accountant. She got laid off three different times, and she'd come in the front door. I'd meet her, and she'd have all her box with her. You know, when you get rid of somebody, you give them your box, you know, of all your stuff. And her mother told her, says, you're going to college, and you're never going to trust a man, and you're never going to trust a company. Who was left out of the equation? God was left out of the equation. Isn't that a terrible attitude to have, that you can't trust a man and you can't trust a company? Hey, there's some bad men out there, right? But that's not what, but you're leaving God out of the equation. And what she's trying to say is employers and employers that's baby boomers and workers that might be millennials, you have to somehow realize that you have to get together. But if you're an owner of the company and you treat your people fairly and you can show your employees that you can trust a man and you can trust the company, hopefully you all can work together to which profitable for both. But that's an attitude that we have to be careful. But just think, sometimes marriages are not what they're supposed to be. But God wants, and there is a reason for divorce. Jesus gives us to us over there in Matthew 19 about adultery. But there's a lot of tough situations that we have to live through. And the other thing is, God sees that, God knows that, and God knows you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay, Danny. Yeah, oh yeah. Right, right. Oh yeah, she knew what was going on. Now, when she was selected, does she know her purpose yet? Does Mordecai or Esther at this time know why God has put her next to the king? Does she ever? Yeah. I think she does know. Once it plays out.
I think she does too, but I don't think it's
yeah.
It's just not laid out.
Yeah.
God doesn't come to her.
And because not having a husband like she should have, I'm sure there's times she doesn't know how she got caught up in this circumstance. But she's there, and God's going to use her. God's going to use her, yes.